You know, the Sloanes have been part of our missionary family for a long time. A long time. And Jim was telling me that he has been doing this, did you say 65 years, 64 years? 65 in July. Do you know he started when he was 3 1/2? Actually, come, brother, and I got to tell you, oh, come on. this church family appreciates you. In fact, you've got people that are tuning in tonight that aren't here physically, but by way of live stream. And so we want to say thank you for allowing us the privilege of being part of your ministry team. And just by way of formal introduction, he's going to give you a little bit of the information of what he's been doing, but he has used his hands literally for the gospel and speaking to those that are without hearing or hearing impaired at some level. And we've been privileged to have you here. So Lord bless you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It is good to be here. And it has been a long time that this church has supported us. And we just want to thank you for that. And now I have to remember to use this thing. First of all, thank you for praying for us. And can I ask you to especially pray for my wife? I called her on the way here tonight, and she is experiencing a bad week. She received the virus in the end of July and was very sick for 2 weeks. I mean, really sick for 2 weeks, and has not improved much since that time. And I took her to 2 doctor's appointments last Tuesday before I started here. And they drew blood again and did some work on her lungs. They had taken an x-ray before and it showed nothing. And so they did some things that she said on the next day she was sore and hurting from the things that they did. So maybe they'll be able, and it will be 2 weeks before they will read that and explain anything that is wrong. And the doctor that is doing this is an expert. He has studied the long-term effects of this virus on people, and he gives lectures on it. And so my wife, who is a registered nurse, is really anxious to hear from him. She feels that he may be able to give her some information that will help her to improve. So we know that people are praying for us because God opens doors and closes doors. God takes care of needs. God provides all of these kinds of things because people are praying for us. And I say to people, if you want to put your name on our email list, we now have 876 people on our email praying list. I also posted on Facebook so that many people that are not receiving the email then reads it on the Facebook as well. And we want people to pray for us. We'll emphasize that in just a moment more. But we thank you for praying, and we thank you for giving. You know, there's 3 famous words that missionaries use. It's printed on their prayer card, and they'll usually tell you in their presentation. You know, those 3 words are pray, give, and go. Pray, give, and go. I used to think that going was the important one until one day God set me down and he said, Jim, yes, sir, pay attention. You know, God gets our attention every once in a while, and he's got something important to say to us. And so he said, let me ask you a question. I said, okay. Now, God is not talking to me with a voice, but it's in my mind, and we're talking back and forth, all right? And he said, could you go if people did not give? The answer, of course, is, well, no, I could not go, okay? You think giving is important? Well, yeah. And then he said, well, what if people did not pray for you? Would it be worthwhile to go, even if you got the money? The answer, of course, was no. So all three of those are important, the praying, the giving, and the going. And I want to thank you for doing at least two of those. And possibly because I am too old now to do anything. Well, that's what people think. Somebody is going to have to change places with me. And probably it's not going to happen. And that's one of the reasons that God has kept me alive as long as he has. All right? And that's fine with me. I'm not complaining, okay? He opens doors, I'm going to go. And all of you know that this past year was different. And I arrived home last March the 10th. And on March 13th, the world was closed. And I began to stay home and do things around the house. And it was good for me that I had to stay home when my wife was sick. You know, the only problem is that she can't remember all of the things I did for her. yes. Well, anyway, It was closed down. I had a meeting the 1st of August, and it was the last week and a half in July that my wife was tested positive. I was quarantined for 2 weeks, had to cancel that meeting. Then the 1st of September, I had a meeting, and I was driving through Kentucky, and I smattered a deer all over the place. Ruined my car, not a car any place to rent, and I had to stay in a hotel for 3 days without any transportation at all. If I went out to eat, I walked. And of course, we do that a lot in foreign countries, so it was not a job, except that I had to cancel that meeting in Detroit area. And then the first meetings that we've had, we went to the Midwest, out into Kansas, and Ankeny, Iowa for the mission conference at Faith, and all of those. And it's been active since that time. And we're praising the Lord that he's beginning to open up places for us to go. That's the wrong button. Now, I know that. This is just like the one I use myself. So why did I must use the wrong button? Anyway, for some of you, maybe new, you don't know me, I will give you a thumbnail description. Okay? I was born 1937. Now, quickly, how many of you can add that up? 1937, 1953, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. In July of 1956, God called me to work with the deaf. It's kind of a long story, but I was watching television with my grandmother because my car had broken down, and they were living with my uncle at the time, and my uncle and I were working to fix my car so that I could drive it to Bible college. And we sat down and we was watching television, 1956. How many of you watched television in 1956? About that big, you know. More snow than pictured. But they had a program called Queen for a Day. Ladies, don't. Then we won't know how old you are. Just relax. Queen for a Day, there were four ladies that came on the program. And they told this really sad, sad, sad Cry Me a River story. And they chose a prize connected with that story somehow. You know, my washing machine's broken and I've got 10 kids and and all of this. At the end of the program, they had an applause meter. And the one who got the biggest applause won the prize. One of the ladies popped up on the program and she said, "If I win today, I would like to be sent to a school to learn sign language to help my husband who preaches to the deaf." God pointed his finger right at me and said, "That's what I want you to do." And so I said, "Yes." I turned to my grandmother and I said to my grandmother, "God wants me to work with the deaf." And she began to cry. And she said, 40 years I've prayed that God would call men to preach to the deaf. See, there was a difference there. I said, God called me to work with the deaf. She said, preach to the deaf. Now, my grandmother did not call me to work with the deaf. God did. But because my grandmother had prayed, because she had a son that was deaf, I had a deaf uncle. And I lived around deaf people all of my life. I cannot remember learning A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, you know, the hand alphabet. I just always used it and signed to my deaf uncle. So when God said, "I want you to work with the deaf," it was not. What? You know, I just said, "Yeah, that's fine. I'll do that." That was in July of 1956. And because of that very clear showing of God's will for my life, I've never deviated from that. Purpose of my ministry is always focused some way, somehow, on reaching deaf people with the gospel. My wife made a really fantastic decision to marry me in 1960. Amen. That was not funny. She laughs too when I tell her that. And she is a registered nurse. She also has a master's degree in biblical counseling. And she's a very busy young lady. And although she's been limited now ever since this virus hit her, she still is counseling six ladies. She is still the church's resident medical authority. If anybody in our church has a medical question, they come to my wife. What do I do? And although she left her RN license a long time ago, because any nurses here? Well, nurses now do paperwork, and nurses want to take care of people, and so she backed off from that, but she still reads, she keeps up to date on all of that kinds of stuff, and she understands sign language. I taught her that our first date. Now, Beek, don't laugh. Our first date, I said to her, "I work with deaf people. If you're not interested, this is the last date. It is now in September, it will be 61 years that we have been doing it together. So she made the decision very quickly, and I taught her the A, B, C, D, E, F, G on our first date, okay? I wanted to make sure that she was honest with me. So many people I knew had surrendered to work with the deaf, and then they meet a girl or a boy that has different ideas, and oh, God changed his mind. So it was not going to happen with me. And so that's, you know, condensed story of our lives. We have had different kinds of ministries with the deaf. We were in Jamaica for 3 years, and I've been pastor of a deaf church. I've been on the staff of Hearing Church with the pastor to the deaf, all different kinds of things, but it's always focused on the deaf, all right? Now, I did push the right there. What we do? I travel a lot to conferences where preachers come together. One in the middle of the summer is the Sword, from the Sword of the Lord newspaper. They have about 2,000 people that come to that conference. I have a display table showing our ministry and the need for reaching deaf people with the gospel. I travel all over the United States and preach in hearing churches and deaf churches. But when I preach in hearing churches, it's always to show them the need of reaching out to the deaf people. And that's part of our ministry. And we are looking for men. Women make good interpreters. Okay. And for most of the ministry done to reach deaf people in America is done in deaf ministries, meaning they meet together in a hearing church. Like they'll have a little section over here, and the deaf, a few deaf will come, and they will sit there. And then most of the time, a woman will interpret for them. Okay? I don't know how much study you have done in different languages, but to change from one language, which would be English spoken, to ASL, which is sign language, with a different grammar structure, a different syntax, and then you've got to listen to what the preacher is saying and change over that into the ASL, which you've probably heard the expression, something is lost in the translation. And that's true with changing from English spoken to American Sign Language as well. Deaf people never develop in their spiritual maturity as good as they do if they're in a deaf church. I preached in a deaf church this morning in Green Bay. And I thoroughly enjoy preaching to the deaf. I would never just stand here preaching to the deaf. I'm over here, I'm over here, I'm down here, and I'm down here, and I'm over here, and oh man, I am, that's the reason I'm skinny. Okay? I enjoy it so very much, and it's just a better way, and we need men to preach to the deaf. Men who will learn the sign language, learn the culture of the deaf, and be able to preach to the deaf, prepare their own messages that are applicable to the deaf and the deaf community rather than to hearing people. So we are looking for men, and you will see that several times in my presentation. This is my favorite verse, my lifetime verse. I've got about 50 or 100, but this one is Mark 16:15, where it says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person." Now, I know it says creature, but that we don't preach to bugs, okay? And we preach to people, and that's the way you would sign it, that you preach the gospel to every person. 7.8 billion people living on the earth right now. Less than one half have heard the gospel one time. Not doing a good job of obedience. Deaf people, there are 400 million deaf people. I may show you that again in just a moment. But there are 400 million deaf people living on the earth right now. Plus, there are still many countries where they do not count the deaf. If they go into a house and they begin, one, two, three, four, oh no, they're deaf. Oh, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, they don't count them. They don't include them in the census. Many, many, many countries do not have schools for the deaf. Nothing. They're just left. And I could give you stories, and I might in a few minutes. But 1993, God sort of changed my focus of ministry. 1992, I was asked by a missionary that traveled back and forth to Romania if I would go with him and preach a Bible conference. Now, their Bible conference are different than here, I can assure you. But I said, okay, I will go if you will allow me to find out about the deaf in Romania. And he said, fine, we'll do that. So we arrived in Romania, and the first Sunday we were there, we began at 9 in the morning, preached in a church, finished, moved to another church and preached, moved to another church and preached, moved to another church and preached, and we did that all day long. We did stop for a Romanian sandwich, which is a piece of bread about this big and about that thick with butter and sort of summer sausage pieces on there. You eat that, you drink, and you're finished and you're gone again. We ate our first meal at 10:30 Sunday night. Mm-hmm. That's a Bible conference in Romania. But while we were there, I met with the lady that interprets for the deaf in that area. And through our conversation, I asked her if the deaf people in that area had a Bible study class or a church service of various, any kind of church service. These are the words that the lady said to me. They're burned on my heart. I've interpreted for the deaf here 33 years. The deaf have never had a Bible study class or a church service. I've begged my Orthodox priest to come and teach the Bible to the deaf. They refused. I said to the lady, I will be back and I will preach to the deaf here. I went back in the spring of that, this was 1993, went back in the spring, stayed there about 4 or 5 weeks studying the Romanian sign language. Every foreign country has a different sign language. okay? Not the same. It's not universal. But it'd be nice if it were, you know, but it's not. Every country has a different sign language. And so I went back and really studied it, and then came back to Kansas City and met with a deaf man that was a pastor of a deaf church in Kansas City. And I said, I'm going back in the fall to Romania to preach to the deaf. You want to go? Yes. I said, well, you'll have to learn Romanian sign language. Yes. I said, it would cost you about $2,000. Yes. I knew that because this man traveled with me after that so many, 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 many times. But back in the 1960-something, they had had the Deaf Olympics in Romania. And this deaf pastor met a deaf man on the street in Romania and could not witness to him. And it had bothered him all of that time. So he was ready to go. I knew that. And back in November, then we went back and preached to the deaf in three different cities in Romania. Probably the first time that most of those deaf had ever been in church or had heard the gospel or that Jesus loved them and so forth. Yeah. I was flying back to America. And I said, Lord, I'm coming back to America. The deaf people here are satisfied with themselves. They come to church every once in a while, all of these things. And I said, the deaf in Romania are probably hungry to hear the Bible, the Word of God. Psalm 37 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Since that trip, God has opened 22 different countries for me to go to help train people to reach the deaf in their area. I've been able to preach to the deaf in 9 different sign languages, had deaf people saved in 7 of those languages, was working on the 8th, and it closed. This was the president of the deaf club in Paris, France. And it's a long story, but I had witnessed to him several times. Felt that he was probably just about ready, and then the door closed, and that was one of the meetings that had to cancel this last year. God knows that. Okay, that's old news, so I won't even do that. But these were the meetings that were planned for me last year. Had to be canceled. Yeah, let me see. You know, Peru, Ireland, France, Luxembourg, and possibly Albania. All of those I had to cancel last year because of the virus. We're planning May 1 to go to France. Does not look good right now. France is still closed. Peru is closed. If I were in Peru right now, I could not go out of the house. If you're above 65, you cannot go out of your house except for a medical emergency. It's just terrible. We go to preach and we go to train. And here's some pictures that we'll see. I'm in Brazil. This is in Romania. This is in Bulgaria. That's in Peru. These are all places that I preached in their sign language. And Here I travel all over America to preach as well. But to train this young man was in Romania. I began training him in 1994. I went back to Romania in 2013 to celebrate 20 years of deaf ministry that's still going on even now today, that we established back in 1993 when we went there. This is in Hungary. quite a story connected with this one. You can see that she's pregnant, the mother's pregnant. And when the baby was born, it had a lot of medical problems and difficulties. I'm going to stop signing and just talk, okay? And I can do it faster than I can if I have to consider signing. But there was a lot of problems. But they contacted me and they said, "We understand that you train people to work with the deaf in their area." And I wrote back and I said, "Yes, I do." And they said, "Would you come to Valencia, Hungary, and help us?" And I said, "I will be there." Well, it's a long story, but to condense it, I went there and started training them on Friday afternoon all day Saturday. We stopped just for Sunday morning service, and it was all day Sunday. And I left, but when the baby was born, it had all kinds of medical problems, and she did as well. So I didn't hear anything from them at all. And I thought, you know, nothing. About 8 years later, I got an email from the young lady. And she had this big Hungarian. If you know Hungarian, it is just awful. I mean, it takes missionaries at least 4 years to be able to start preaching in Hungarian. And she had this big, long word, "Dear," whatever it was. And then down in the bottom, she says, "You probably don't remember what that was, but I did remember what it was. It meant grandfather." And so she came on down and she said, I know that you think that your time was wasted, but she said, "Let me bring you up to date." She said, 2 years later, we started a deaf ministry in our church here. And it grew to where there were about 25 or more deaf people coming every Sunday. They decided they wanted their own church. They established a church for them. They have their own deaf pastor. There's a deaf church going on in Valencia, Hungary, because you give and you pray. This is the Bulgarian. This is another story. We went there, found that there was a deaf school in another city. We went to that city, went to the deaf school. It happened to be on Saturday. David and I preached the next day in the Turkish church. And the deaf school was just about a half a mile from this church. And of course, we're doing what all good Baptists do after church service. We were eating, right? You can say amen. We were eating, and all of a sudden, this man came in and had the blah, 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 you know. That's what it sounded to me like anyway. And the missionary said, "Well, you want to know what he said?" And, you know, "Yeah, I do." And he said, "There's a whole bunch of deaf people coming down the street." I said, "Great." He said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Watch." We had a Bible class for them. We had one man saved because of it. But because of that, the tall guy there is the deaf pastor. And he said, "When I started this ministry," he said, "this is the group that would come, 20, 25 people. He said, "Now only one or two come." And we began to question him about his training. Found out that he had no training or almost no training at all. He didn't know how to prepare lessons and all of that. So we made an agreement with him, and David and I went back, I think, three different times and spent a whole week with him, training him how to read the Bible, how to study the Bible, how to prepare lessons and so forth, so that he could teach the deaf people. And it was quite a ministry. The young lady that's standing in the middle was a hearing lady that was the interpreter for them. She had never had any training whatsoever. So David was on one end of the table in a restaurant, by the way, 4 hours we sat there teaching him, and I sat on the other end of the table teaching her how to interpret rules and things like that to help her. It was quite a thing. This is in Austria, and we're still working on those in Austria, but this was probably my last really training session. This was in Chad, Africa. The pastor was out one day, and he saw this young girl over there, about 16, he said. And so he said, would you like to come to our young people's meeting at our church? And she didn't do anything. And he walked over and started talking to her, and somebody yelled at him from across the street, she can't hear you, she's deaf. And so he found where she lived. He went and talked to the parents and found out that there were several young people in that community that could not go to school because the school was too far. And if they go to school, they have to find somebody in the area of the school where their kids can live and feed and so forth and get them to school and back and forth. So it's just impossible. She's probably 15, 16 years old, never been to school. She can't read. She can't write. She can't hear. She can't speak. She just is there. Now the end of that story. About a year and a half ago, we got an email from the pastor, and he said the girl received Jesus Christ as her Savior. We're preparing her for baptism because you pray and because you give. This is in France. This is maybe all changed, but the gentleman there in the blue shirt, he emailed me and he said, you know, I see a lot of deaf people around my apartment. He said, would you like to come? And would I like to come? We set a date immediately. We went there with another deaf man that's traveling with me now named James Campbell out of Washington, D.C. with International Partnership Ministries. And we started walking up and down because we felt that there was a reason why the deaf were all there is because of a deaf club. And that's where you go to meet the deaf in these foreign countries. And so we started walking up and down the hall road there asking people, you know, and finally we found it. It's one block down from this guy's apartment where the deaf meet. They have about 60 to 100 deaf people that come to that deaf club, mostly on Saturday. We got to be there a couple of times in 2 years while we were there. We really need to get back there, but that's one of the trips that were canceled last year. This is in Ireland. We have about 6 or 8, one whole family, and the pastor's wife. The pastor's wife has already taken several sections of sign language and just needs a little bit of an encouragement to get a move on and get a work started there. But this again was one of the trips that we had to cancel last year. These are people that were saved. This young lady was saved in Brazil. We had to preach there in a deaf retreat. On Sunday morning, I preached in the deaf church. And Sunday afternoon, preached in the deaf church, gave the invitation, and this young lady came forward. I looked out over there, and people were crying. And I said to the missionary, I said, they ought to be happy. He said, oh, we are happy. We've been praying for this lady for a long time to be saved. This is in Kenya. This was the second deaf camp that we had in Kenya. 26 deaf people received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we deal with each one individually. We don't have a mass call, and they may come in masses, but then we deal with them individually to make sure that they just didn't follow their friend or they're understanding what they're doing. Interesting, this was the time when my computer, my projector, 3 flash drives with all of my mind on them were stolen. And when something is stolen in a foreign country, you're not going to get it back, okay? I know that. We went to the police station, and they almost laughed at us. They did give me a case number to, you know, I guess in case. I said, hey, you're never going to see that, are you? I said, we're not going to see it anymore. So we had 3 preachers at that conference, at that camp, and my time to preach, James Campbell came up to me, and he said, what are you going to do? He said, you don't have your projector, your PowerPoint, your flash drives, or any of that kind of thing. I said, James, when I started teaching the deaf, all we had was a blackboard and chalk. I said, you think that's going to stop me because I don't have PowerPoint? So I started writing stuff on my whiteboard, you know, and if I have a picture of it, and you see it, you know why I use PowerPoint. But anyway, but I'm writing to it, and James Campbell came up to me, and he said, hey, did you know that there's a Church of Christ deaf preacher in Kent? And he said, we've been discussing, of course, baptism. He said, is there any way that you could teach on that tonight? Now, you see, with PowerPoint, you have to fairly well follow what you've got up there. It's very difficult to say, okay, turn that off. I want to do something else. But when that, I just came to a certain point and wrote Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14, 1 John 1:7, and then back to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. And I said to the people, open your Bibles to read Ephesians 1:7. All of those verses except the last one talk about the blood that forgives sin. Okay? Colossians 2 says that it forgives all of our sins, as well as 1 John 1:7 says that as well. When I gave the invitation, he came forward to be saved. These were his words that he said to me for the first time. I understand it's the blood that forgives sins and not water. Amen. Your prayers and your financial support makes those possible. I actually climbed a mountain to get to these 2 ladies. The pastor, the national pastor said, now it's an incline, okay? And I thought, okay, I can make an incline, you know, no problem. Well, about 35 minutes later, I'm saying to where did this end? And we start preaching. And he said, oh, no. He said, see that mountain? He said, we've got to climb that mountain. It was a mountain. 2 hours later, we're standing on the plateau. And the hearing the people are all over here, you know, waiting for us to get there. And these 3 ladies come up, and they are talking in their language. But of course, the national pastor then says, you want to know what they said? And I said, yeah, it would be nice. And they said, how old is he? And when he said he's 78, their mouth dropped open, and they could not believe that a 78-year-old man would climb that mountain just to preach to them. But when I gave the invitation, those 2 ladies came forward to be saved. Going down the hill, the pastor said, would you do it again? And I said, you better believe it, but not today. Once was enough. This is in Peru. I traveled all over Peru. A lot of people saved in Peru. And I got to see that. But oh, this is the group from Bulgaria. You remember I told you this group came down the road, and the guy sitting in the front there with that little jacket on was the one that was saved that day. This is an 87-year-old woman in New York that was saved at a retreat. It took us 6 months to find a church where she could be baptized that was near enough to her so that she could be baptized and join and get involved in the church. Co-laborers, got James and Joy Campbell, the Olsons. Here I am. James Campbell is preaching in American Science. I'm voicing in English, and the national pastor then is doing in the national language. The deaf people are everywhere. And like I said, we'd probably see this again. 400 million deaf people in the world. 95% have never heard the gospel one time. Who will tell them? Somebody has to learn the sign language and the culture and go to them. Here's Matthew chapter 9. You know the verses. There were four words that I would close the service with. Compassion is more than concern. Compassion means you're moved to do something. You remember the Samaritan that helped the man who was beaten on his way to Jericho? He was moved to do something to help. It was compassion. And there's a concern because back in those days when Jesus was here, there were so few laborers. And we have so few laborers going out. It's just amazing how many less missionaries that we're sending out now than we were 20 years ago. It's just not going. Even before the virus attacked, it was few. Probably four coming back home. I heard one missionary our mission board president say, for every four that comes home, only one goes back. We need people to go. We have prayer people, we have the giving people, but we also need the going people. And again, we thank you so much for your prayers and for your kindness. And it's just, I told Pastor just before the church started, you're one of the few churches that actually send us cards and things. We have one other church in Iowa that about once or twice a year, one of their members sends us a handwritten letter. And that's it. That encourages people. And if you do that just for me, you ought to do it for your other missionaries as well. And of course, every once in a while, you ought to do it for your pastor just to, you know, keep him going too. So, but we appreciate you guys so very much. And I used up all the time. But Pastor, if they want to ask a question, it's their time. Yeah.
And we aren't going to let you off the hook just yet. I would like to give you a chance to ask questions, and we may have to repeat them so that it gets picked up for those that are listening by way of live stream. But does anybody have a question for Jim on something he has shared tonight, or something that maybe is on your mind but he didn't touch at all? And we got a couple.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. I have not heard about that. I know that Wycliffe is working with several groups of people to produce a Bible for the deaf. And for my own personal opinion on that, it's going to be a very limited edition use because every country has a different... That's the problem with all of the live streaming today. We've got deaf preachers now live streaming all over America, but it's all done in American Sign Language. And so if it goes out to France, they're not going to understand it because their sign language is different. They're not going to understand it in Chad because they probably don't have the internet to begin with. But, you know, So if they produce a Bible, you know, it's going to be limited. I'm not opposed to it. Let them go do it, you know. But it's just going to be a very limited edition. Yeah. Okay? Yes, sir. I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Have they heard that there's a Jesus? You mentioned people that have never heard the gospel presented completely. Do they know that there is a Jesus? Have they heard that part?
Probably yes, but they know him as the baby at Christmas, all right? And they probably know him as the person on the cross at Easter. But that's probably the most they know about Jesus and about God. It's just not a part of their lives. In fact, when we go into a new country, we usually have to invent all new religious science because it's just not part of their conversation, not part of their daily life. Quite a thing, yeah. But after you've done it a few times, it becomes a lot easier, you know. But when you invent a sign, it has to have the concept of what you're trying to show. You know, I was amazed a few years ago. I learned that you just can't take a lot of handout or alphabet and put it together and say, that's a word. Do you know they have rules to govern how letters go together to make words? So you have that same concept in a sign. A sign is not a word, it is a concept. And that concept may equal to many, many English words. Like for the word run and running, I have 50-something sentences with that word run or running in it, and every one of those would be signed differently. Same English word, but the concept that word would give, like the engine is running, or your nose is running. Yeah, that wasn't nice, was it?
You shouldn't have picked that one.
Oh, way to go. All right, but a good question, yeah. Yes, sir.
Jim, could you explain how difficult it is to actually preach or interpret a preacher? Like, I remember you saying if you have not heard, and then if you interpret that to a deaf person, it's the opposite of what is actually being said.
It is extremely difficult. And women are better interpreters than men because it takes quick thinking. And I always use this as an illustration. You ask a woman a question and she answers you. You ask that same question to a man and he'll say, well, let me think about it. Can I get to you tomorrow? You can't do that when the preacher's up here preaching. And you're at least one sentence behind because of these words that have so many different meanings that you have to be behind so that you will know the context of that word. And then you're signing one sentence while you're listening to him give the next one. And your mind is taking that sentence that he is saying, and your mind is already switching it around to fit the syntax and the grammar structure of the ASL. And you do that constantly. You cannot wander at any time. You cannot refocus. You cannot say, well, I'm going to wait just a minute here. You know, I'm tired. It's focus. So that when you're finished with a 45-minute sermon, you are washed out mentally. because that process that you have to go through. Now, it becomes easier as you progress, you know. And preachers, I will say this, you know, he probably will not mind this, but they have a speech pattern. You watch, maybe not, I don't know, but listen to him. When he starts a sentence, he will end it in a certain way. Well, when you're interpreting, you pay attention to those, and so sometimes when he says this sentence, you know what he's going to say. Also, it helps me to interpret because I'm a preacher, and I think outline, 1 point, 2 point, 3 point. Mine's usually 7 points. And so that, you know, you begin to think like a preacher. So sometimes I can even tell them their next 2 or 3 points. And sometimes I'm sitting over there, but that's not a good verse to use for that point either, buddy. There's a better verse over here. Why aren't you using that verse?
I'm sorry, Jim. That's all the time we have.
I thought so. But so it is quite a job of training this. And by the way, next week I start a two-year, four-semester training program at a deaf college that's in Knoxville, Tennessee, which is about a two-hour drive from my home, on church interpreting. And I had not been able to interpret for a while because I lost hearing here. And I don't know if you've ever had your hearing tested, but they also give you, they speak words, and you have to repeat those words, ice cream, baseball, and all of that, because they have all of the phonetic sounds in those words. And so I get less than one half of 25 words. So I drop a lot of words. If they're not very clear, I can't interpret. So the last conference I was, there's a deaf person shows up, and I had to interpret six times, six full length messages in 2 days. And there was only one that I had trouble with understanding. But so that was nice. But it is quite a job to interpret. And a lot of people are not trained to do that. They simply just sign English. They just take what he says and sign English. The other problem is the fact that there's a lot of words in the Bible and theological words, biblical terms, that there's no way to sign it. You have to sign the meaning of that. And I've got one of the things that they're going to be doing in these classes that I'm teaching, I've got 100 of those words and those terms, and they're going to have to look them up in the Greek, find out the real meaning, and write the meaning out on all of those words so that when the pastor uses it, they'll be able to just sign it and go right on. You can't spell it because the deaf people wouldn't know the word anyway. So you can't fingerspell it. I couldn't fingerspell them anyway. But you put the first letter and the last letter and wiggle your fingers. That's true. I mean, it's very true. And the deaf get it because they look for words rather than for letters. It's like you type. You don't say thebowentow. You say the boy went to town, and that's the way they read it on your fingers. Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions? Now with these lights, it's difficult to see the sun. Hands go up.
Right? Yep.
Thank
All right.
you.
Thank you,
now,
sir.
You can have a seat here, but I want to just draw attention to a couple of things. God put it in front of us today in a couple of different ways that we need to pray for people to preach the word. Did you hear that tonight? And that was there this morning from Nehemiah.
And I think that is a takeaway for us. The other thing that should encourage any here tonight, those that are listening or can listen in the weeks ahead to this service, ought to be encouraged. When we are going through the same kinds of things as the Sloans did last year in 2020, and we begin looking at how is our ministry unfolding? What are we going to do? Did you hear how many times that Jim said, because you prayed and you give, these stories are happening? Did that do anything to you? We are, in our routine stewardship, able to make it possible for God's servants to have these kinds of conversations and ministry opportunities, and we are so far removed from the firsthand accounts of those until we get someone like Jim here tonight and saying, wait, you do understand the reason those happened, the reason those pictures and those stories are brought to us tonight is because of faithfulness. So I trust that that motivates you to pray and to give. And then, what about that third component? Praying for others to go? Sure, maybe God would tap us someplace there. I so appreciate this. I can't get enough time with the Sloans because their ministry impact has this constant force in it. What are you going to do when you get old and retire?
I retired.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Now I'm doing what I like to do.
Oh, okay. All right. That too is just a remarkable thing to think about the energy that God's given to you, and you keep pressing on. That is something that means a lot to so many of us. I'm going to repeat that for the purpose of the live stream only. But Jim said that he believes that God has kept him going seriously because there are so few, no one else to take his place. So God, in his words, has to keep this old geezer going. At any rate, let's stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Let me also say, while we're on our feet and ready for our closing prayer, should you, and I know many of you will want to encourage the Sloans through a financial gift, you can put that in an offering envelope and stick it in the box back there. You can designate it any time online. Even next week, we will gather those resources and put them in the mail so that Jim and Joyce can use those resources as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are blessed among people to be able to rub shoulders with people like Jim and Joyce. They have been serving you so faithfully. In fact, it's remarkable to me that you've started them on their path of ministry before I was even born. And to see the passion and the desire he has to see those who cannot hear the gospel, understand the gospel, it's moving. And I pray that you would continue to strengthen him. I do pray that you would grace Joyce in a special way. This is not something that you just recover from this virus. And I thank you for her ministry impact with ladies. Thank you for giving her the orientation to scripture that fits in that counseling scenario. I thank you for the wake that has been created behind Jim and those in a hearing impaired world. And I pray that you would keep those blessings coming. And we do pray, Father, that you would put laborers into the harvest field. And this is a unique spot in the harvest field. I pray that we might find answers to these prayers coming soon. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you, Jim.